Thank you very much, Rabbi Weinman. It's a pleasure to be here on this wonderful festival and have an opportunity to talk a little bit about one of the topics which is very practically relevant as far as the laws of Hanukkah go, and perhaps also has a lot to say about what are our responsibilities regarding the Hanukkah candles. And it has to do with the fundamental question of what happens, as the title has it here, what happens if the lights go out? We know that we have a notion of a half hour as the minimum duration for the Hanukkah candles. What happens if you do your best? You put in sufficient oil or sufficient candles, everything is set up to last, and for whatever reason it doesn't. Are you in fulfillment of your obligation? What do you have to do? What exactly is the story if somehow, for some reason, the candles go out? And I think it's a fascinating practical question, but also, as we'll try to discuss, it goes to the basis of what exactly is our responsibility towards this mitzvah, and I thought it would be a nice topic to talk about for a few minutes this morning. And to begin with, it's actually a discussion, it's one of the first discussions that the Gemara has when it takes up the topic of Hanukkah. So maybe we'll look at that Gemara together. It's a little bit complicated, so we'll just take a few minutes to carefully look at that Gemara, and then we'll try to figure out exactly what is the message here. So this is source number one on the sheet, where the Gemara quotes, we have here a Gemara from Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph. And the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna stated, Psilos u'shmanim, sh'amru chachamim, ein madlikin behen b'shabbos, that there are certain wicks, and there are certain oils, that the rabbi said, they're not appropriate for use for Shabbos candles. They don't have a strong flame, you can't have a lot of confidence in their effectiveness, and they're no good for Shabbos candles. So according to Rav Huna, he's going to be the first of three opinions. If we don't have confidence in them and they're no good for Shabbos candles, then they're also no good for Hanukkah. You can't use them for Hanukkah candles. Bein b'Shabbos, bein b'chol. You can't use them Friday night for your Hanukkah candles, nor any other night of Hanukkah. So it seems like there's two separate considerations. What's qualified for Friday night Hanukkah candles, and what's qualified for any other night? And if your oils or your wicks are weak, if they're not really confidence-inducing that they're going to last, so then you can't use them for either category, not for weekday lighting, nor for Shabbos lighting. And Rava is now quoted to explain that. Amar Rava, my time of the Rav Huna. What's Rav Huna's reason for disqualifying them for both categories? So Kasavar, first talking about the weekday, why is it that it's no good for the weekday? Here is our topic here. Kasavar, Kavsa Zakukla. Because apparently his position is that should the candles go out, should they become extinguished, Zakukla, you are obligated, you're responsible to relight them. And what does that have to do with the quality of the oil and the wicks? So, as Rashi explains, we're afraid you're not going to get around to it. If indeed your responsibility is to make sure that the candles stay lit for the whole time, then it's best to make sure they don't go out in the first place. So to have oil or wicks that are not so strong and are likely to go out, and then we're going to have to worry, maybe you're not going to get around to fixing it, that's not a good idea. And if that's indeed the case, that you're responsible for keeping it going the entire time, then we would insist on quality materials. Okay, so far so good? Does that make sense? So then, the next statement, why is it that it's a problem for Shabbos? It's a problem for Friday night, because mutter l'hishtamesh la'ora. It's permissible to use the Hanukkah candles. So far, you'll see both of these statements are not how we assume for halachic purposes. This is the second of the two statements which do not line up with our current practice. But this position states it's permissible against the Haneros Halalu. It's permissible to use the Hanukkah candles for our personal benefit. And therefore, we're worried on Shabbos if the flame is weak. Maybe you'll come to tilt the candles. Maybe you'll come to increase the flame. You'll do a malacha on Shabbos through that action. And because it's permissible to use, therefore we're worried if you're going to have on Friday night Hanukkah candles that are weak. So two separate reasons the Gemara gives us. We shouldn't use it according to this opinion, which is not going to be the final opinion, but according to this opinion, we shouldn't use them during the week because we're responsible to keep them going the whole duration, and maybe they'll go out if they're inferior quality and we won't fix it. And we can't use it Friday night because since we're going to be using these candles for our personal needs, if it's a weak flame, we may come to increase the flame and that will be a malacha on Shabbos. So that's the first opinion. We don't follow this opinion, but that's how it would be explained. And then the Gemara goes on to give a second opinion. Rav Chista Amar Madlikin Behen Bechol Avalo B'Shabbos. Rav Chista says it's okay to use them during the week, but not to use it on Shabbos, because he has a split position on these two issues. He assumes Kasavar Kavsa Ein Zakukla, that if it goes out, you are not liable to relight it, and therefore it's okay to have inferior quality during the week. But mutter l'shtamish la'ora, it's permissible to use them, so Friday night we're still worried, so during the week it's okay, but Friday night you have to have a strong flame that you won't be tempted to try to fix. That's the middle opinion. And the last opinion is the opinion that we are familiar with, Amar of Zera, Amar of Masna, V'amar Amar of Zera Marav, Psilos u'shmanim sh'amru chachamim ein madlikin behen b'shabbos, these inferior quality oils and lights, madlikin behen b'chanukah. Yes, you can use them on Chanukah. Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos, whether it's the weekday or Shabbos. Amar of Yirmiya, Rav Yirmiya says, what's the reason? My time with the Rav, kasavar kavsa ein zakukla, the asur l'hishtamish la'ura. These are the opinions we actually follow, that if it goes out, so then we are not obligated to relight it. So we're not so worried about the quality of the oil to endure the entire time. And we're not allowed to use the candles for our personal purposes. So we're not worried that Friday night we'll want to adjust them because we can't use them anyway, so that's not much of a risk. So therefore, that's the bottom line. We're allowed to use them both during the week and Friday night because that's the position we take on both of these issues. We're not responsible to relight them if they go out. And we're not allowed to use the candles for our personal purposes, so it's not going to be a Shabbos issue. Okay, so far so good. So this discussion, which we'll come back to in a moment, but the bottom line for us is this position of Kavsa Lo Zakukla, that if it goes out, we are not obligated to relight it, which has the connotation that we're not responsible to keep it going the entire time. And if that's the case, so then where does the whole concept of a half hour come in? The whole concept, which the Talmud phrases as Ad Shetichla Regel Min Hashuk, that the time goes up until people are no longer out in the streets, which we translate in halachic terms to a half hour. So apparently there's no such thing. It doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't seem to be our obligation to keep it going for any period of time. So the Talmud asked that question, that part they failed to include over here in the source. But the Gemara goes on to ask that question. So what about this apparent need to go until people are no longer there? Ad shetich l'regel min hashuk? So the response is, well, two possible answers. Either that means that that's just telling you the time that you can light in the first place, that you can only light, according to that opinion, within those parameters of when it gets dark until people are no longer on the street, but it's not telling you how long the candles have to last for. Or the second position is l'shiure, the shear of oil, that we need to know how much oil has to be there in the first place, or how big do the candles have to be in the first place. So they have to be there long enough that they could last a half hour, they could last this period of time. But it doesn't mean that, should it, practically speaking, not make that limit, that you wouldn't be in fulfillment. Okay? So far, so good. So that's the way the Talmud presents the issue. So how do we understand this question? This idea that there's a debate in the Gemara about whether we're responsible to keep the Hanukkah candles going. That according to one opinion that we don't follow, yes, we're liable to do that. We're responsible to make sure the candles are going the entire time. And according to the other opinion that we do follow, we're not responsible. We just have to light it. And if it goes out, it's not our problem. How do you understand that debate? What's at the core of that discussion? So it seems like the issue is just on the surface. And this is the way some of the commentaries understand it, such as the Beis Ephraim and others, that the question is, what is our obligation regarding Ner Chanukah? Is our obligation to light the candles? Is that what we're here to do? And that's the whole mitzvah? Or is our obligation to have candles lit? Is it more about the reality, more about the impact? Which one is it? If the obligation is to light the candles, so then maybe we could understand our position that once we do that, if they go out, they go out. It's not our problem. But if the obligation is to have candles lit, to have a display in our window, let's say, so then if the candles go out before it's had enough time to make an impact, so then we should be obligated to relight them. Right? That would seem to be, on the surface, the nature of the issue. And that one opinion, the opinion we don't follow, holds you are not in fulfillment if they go out before the time ends, unless you fix it. And the first opinion, the opinion that we do follow, holds that you are in fulfillment, you are completely done once you light the Hanukkah candles. That's what it sounds like. And in fact, it sounds like that's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying also. If you look at source number 3, the Shulchan Aruch sounds like that's how it's explaining things. It says there, source 3, Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, that the action of lighting the menorah, that's the mitzvah. Lefikach, therefore, Im Kavsa Kodam Sh'avar Zmana, if it should go out before the time is over, Eino Zakukwa, you're not liable. You don't have any responsibility. Okay, we'll come back to the next part in a moment. So it sounds like that's how the Shulchan Aruch is explaining what's going on. That your mitzvah is in the act of the hadlaka, is in the action. Once you have done your action, then if it goes out, it goes out. It's not your problem. So if that's the case, it's interesting. We have to figure out just how far we're ready to go with that. Just how absolute a statement that is. So is it really the case that all you have to do is light it and it doesn't matter how long it goes? Even 1 second is enough? There's no minimum? Even 1 minute, even 1 second, that's all you have to do? It just has to get in there for a second? Is that really the case? Well, so far it seems like that. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch goes on to tell you something even more extreme. Something that was so extreme that some of the commentary said, that's too far, that much I can't handle. If you want to tell me that it only lasts for 1 minute, it only lasts for 1 second, fine, that's all right. But this next statement to the Shulchan Aruch is too much. What is the next statement? If we keep reading, V'afilu kavsa be'erev Shabbos. Kodem Kabbalah Shabbos. Let's say you light Friday afternoon. It's still broad daylight outside. You light way before it's dark. And you haven't brought in Shabbos yet, so you still could be fixing things. Sha'adayin hu mibod yom. It's still the daytime. Eino zakukla. You are not obligated to relight it. So that, according to the Maharshal, was too far. The Shulchan Aruch here is quoting a view of the Truma Sadashen, who made this statement. And the Maharshal said, wait a minute, how could that be? If you want to tell me 1 minute is enough, 1 second is enough, okay. But here, you don't even make it into the time. The Hanukkah candles are supposed to be burning at night. We light Erev Shabbos while it's still daytime because we can't light when Shabbos starts, but we use bigger candles, more oil, because we need it to last into the darkness. So here you're telling me that even if it doesn't get anywhere near there, even if it only goes for a minute on Friday afternoon, that's okay. That says the Marshal, and the Taz takes his opinion also. If you want to read it, we won't read it inside, but it's source 4. Quotes the Marshal, the second part of source 4, he says that's too much. To say that even before the mitzvah starts, 1 minute of it is enough, that's unbelievable. You could probably give a comparison, or you could give a muscle. Let's say you tell your boss you need to take a week off work because you need to go to Paris. You're going to go to Paris for 5 days. But you have to take off a week because you need a day to get there, you need a day to get back. So, okay, so we understand you took off a week. You need a week for your Paris trip. So let's say you fly to Paris, you get off the plane, you're there for an hour, and somebody calls you back to New York. Okay, you could say, I saw Paris for an hour, even though it was a very short period of time. Okay, you could say, once you set foot there, it's enough to say, I saw Paris. But let's say the plane, you're on the plane for an hour, and then they say, we have to turn back, there's engine trouble, and you never get anywhere near France. You can still say you went to Paris? Yes, you needed the traveling time in order to get there, so it's a part of the whole trip experience. But if you don't even land in Paris, that counts? That, and you can still say you've been to Paris? So says the Marshal, that's what he's saying in the Shulchan Aruch, that just lighting it even before you get to the zone of the mitzvah, that's enough. So this is a little bit of a debate, that we accept the view that 1 minute, 1 second is enough, but Erev Shabbos, to say even before the time, that the Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, that's right, and the Taz says, well, that's too much, I can't accept that. But it seems to be an extreme version of this idea that maybe all you need to do is light it, and you're okay, you're in fulfillment. While the other position, the position that says you have to relight it if it goes out, so it sounds like that position is saying you're not in fulfillment if it doesn't last the whole time. Right? That's how it sounds like the other opinion is. That it sounds like the mitzvah requires you to have it going the entire time. And if it doesn't last the whole time, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. Is that the other opinion though? Maybe not. So what we'll see in the next few minutes is that neither opinion is as far apart from the other as it seems. We start off thinking that we have one opinion, just light it, nothing else matters, and another opinion, you must get it to the finish line or else you've done nothing. Seems like neither opinion is as far apart from the other as it seems. Because let's consider for a second this statement of the rejected opinion, that if it doesn't last the whole time, we just said you're not in fulfillment. You're not Yotzei. Is that really true? So there's an interesting question that the Rishonim ask. The Rishonim say, we saw the whole passage in the Talmud, which says, if you can't use it, the first opinion that we don't follow, you can't use it during the week, and you can't use it Friday night either. And the Gemara gave one reason for each. You can't use it during the week because maybe it'll go out, and you can't use it Friday night because maybe you'll come to use the candles for your own purposes and you will increase the flame. So asks the Rishonim, Tosfos and the Ramban and others, why doesn't one reason suffice for both? Right, why don't we say that if we're concerned that if the flame goes out and you forget to fix it, you're not going to fulfill your obligation. So if it happens on Friday night, you're not even going to be permitted to fix it. So we should say all the more so, that should be enough reason why you can't use it during the week or on Shabbos. And Shabbos should be a bigger issue. We should say, make sure to use the best materials on Friday, because if it goes out Friday night, you won't be in fulfillment, and you won't be able to do anything about it, even if you're very diligent, and even if you're watching, you won't be able to do anything about it. So asks Tosfos, asks the Ramban, why don't we say like that? Why didn't that first opinion say that that would be enough to explain Friday night also? So says the Ramban, Even the opinion that says it has to go the whole time, the opinion that says kofsa zakukla, that you're responsible to relight it, they agree that Friday night you're not. Friday night you're off the hook. Because Friday night there's nothing you can do about it. So they would agree Friday night you're not responsible to relight it. During the week, yes. But if it goes out Friday night, then not. So that's a little bit of a funny idea, as the Ramban notes, because it seems like the mitzvah is fundamentally different than Friday night. According to this opinion, it seems like every night of the week, you have an obligation to get it to the finish line. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have candles lit. But Friday night, it changes. Friday night, you're not responsible to get it to the end. All you have to do is light it. And if we follow that view of the Shulchan Aruch and the Shulmas Adeshen, you don't even have to light it during the rite. It doesn't have to last into the time. It could be lit Friday afternoon and go out, and that's enough. So it's a whole different concept of the mitzvah. Is that really the case? The Friday night lighting has nothing in common with Thursday night's lighting or Sunday night's lighting? It's pretty surprising. So some understand that really, no, it's true, it's the same thing all week long. That everyone agrees that Thursday night, Friday night, Sunday night, whatever night it is, you really are in fulfillment when you light it. That's the whole thing. But maybe there's a separate obligation that even though you fulfilled your mitzvah, but there's an additional concept according to this opinion in the Gemara that says if you see it goes out, you're obligated to relight it. Even though you fulfilled your obligation with the initial lighting, but if there's still time left on the clock, if you see it goes out, you should relight it. And Friday night, since you're not allowed to do that, so then there's no such obligation. But the mitzvah is the same all Hanukkah long, that your obligation is really in the initial lighting. And in addition to that, there's a mitzvah to relight if it goes out. Okay, so far so good. So it seems like this position of you have to relight it is not as absolute as it seemed a few minutes ago. He's not necessarily saying that you're not in fulfillment if it goes out. He's just telling us that there's an additional obligation that you should relight it if it goes out, but you still fulfilled your obligation with the first minute. Okay, does this make sense? So that's one position. Now, what about the position that we follow? The position that says you don't even have that obligation. That as long as you light it, that's enough. Is that really the whole story? Is that all that needs to be said? Are there any circumstances where it might be different? Well, let's ask one question first. What if you light it and it goes out, not because it happened to go out, but because you decided you can't wait anymore, you want to go eat dinner, you want to go to the restaurant, so you're going to decide to put it out after 5 minutes. Are you still yotze? Does it not matter why it went out? So here, it's interesting, if you look back in the Shulchan Aruch says, after we read the line, it's still in Source 3, Filakovsa Barav Shabbos, we saw that part. And then it goes on to say, V'chein im la'achar shehlika ba'litakna. If after you lit the candle, now you come to fix it, you want to adjust something. V'kibosa b'shogeg, and you yourself put it out. While you were fixing it, by accident, you put out the candle, eino zakukla. You are not obligated to relight it. So some of the commentaries note that what's the key word in that phrase, perhaps? It says, if you put it out, what was it? Shogeg, right? If you put it out by accident, then you're not obligated to relight it. What if you put it out on purpose? If you put it out on purpose, does that change anything? So many thought yes. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes a view like this, that maybe if you put it out on purpose, so then that does obligate you to relight it. And it's interesting to see some of the commentary on this idea that see this as not necessarily a statement about Hanukkah, but see this as a philosophical statement about the entire Torah. So, for example, there was a great posek, a great Hasidic posek, is known as the Kadrik Lover Rav. If you visit the library here on the fifth floor on 5A, his picture is on the wall because 5A is named after him in the YU library. So the Kadrik Lover Rav, he has a responsum where he understands, he talks about Kavsa Lozakakwa, this phrase from Hilchos Chanukah, and he talks about it in a context that has nothing to do with Hilchos Chanukah. He talks about it in the context of Bris Milah, in the context of covering the blood after you shecht an animal. He talks about it in some completely different contexts because he understands it as a general Torah idea. He says that in general, the notion is that your responsibility towards mitzvot in general is that you do your part. You do what you have to do, and whatever happens, happens. That's not your problem. And he uses this phrase, says, Kavsa lo zakakla. He says, so if you shecht an animal and you cover up the blood, and then the wind comes and blows away the covering, so now it's exposed, doesn't matter. Kavsa lo zakakla, he says, you've done your part. But that's assuming that you're not contradicting yourself. If you do the action, and then you come and undo the action, you purposely undo what you did, that's a different story. So he suggests that that's what's going on here, to say that if you purposely put the candles out, so then you can't say you did your part. If you did your part and something else comes and undoes it, that's not your problem. But if it's you who did it, then it is your problem, and then that does contradict your initial step. There's a similar explanation, a little bit differently. Rav Asher Weisschlita also understands this as a general Torah concept. He explains it a little bit differently. He says that there are some mitzvos which do care about the result. We are interested in what happens, not just in your action. But still, we're human beings, so we can only obligate you as far as your action because you can't control the world. So, even though, let's say, when it comes to Hanukkah candles, we really do care that they last long enough, but you can't be responsible for everything. So still, we have to formulate the obligation that you light the candles. He gives another example. He says, there's a famous discussion in Hilchos Purim. What if you send Shalach Manos to somebody and he rejects it? Sends it back, return to sender. So are you in fulfillment of Shalach Manos? So there, the Rama says yes, and it's a whole discussion why that is. So Rav Asher Weiss says there also, he says the same thing, that really, yes, we really want your Shalach Manos to get to the recipient. But you can only do what you can do. So we have to formulate the mitzvah as you do your part, and we hope that it'll work out. Even though we do thematically, conceptually care about what happens next. This explanation, the same way as the Kadrik Lover does, he sees this as not so much about Hilchos Chanukah, that this is a Torah concept. Kavsa lo zakakla, you do your part, as long as you don't contradict yourself, so then you're okay. But, sounds like that's only if you did it b'mezid. If you did it b'shogeg, says in the Shulchan Aruch, we just saw that b'shogeg, still, you're off the hook. But not everyone agreed with that. It's interesting, our friend the Maharshal comes back in, and the Maharshal says that he doesn't even think it's okay if you did it by accident, if you did it yourself. If you're the force that made this light go out, so then that is your problem, whether it was intentional or it wasn't intentional. And here there's a similar explanation of his opinion by the Avnei Nezer. We mentioned the Kadrik Lover a minute ago. The Kadrik Lover was a student of the Avnei Nezer, the Shachat Shavir Rebbe. So the Avnei Nezer says a similar philosophical concept. He says, if you do your mitzvah obligation, so some other force in the world cannot undo that. But if it's your own force, even if it's unintentional, even if it's b'shogeg, then that does undo what you've done. And that's no good, even though, again, he's explaining the position that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't follow. The bottom line of the Shulchan Aruch is that if it's an accident, you are off the hook. It's only if you do it b'mezid, if you do it on purpose, then you're obligated to come back and fix it. So how does this come into play practically? Okay, it's one thing to say that you're not supposed to put it out yourself. So let's say you've lit the candle for 5 minutes, you want to go out to dinner, You can't put the candles out and say that that's not your problem. After a half hour, if it's been going for long enough, then you can put them out. But let's say within the time, it's been 5 minutes and you're anxious to go, so you can't put them out on purpose. But what if it's not you? Right, so we know that even though you're not obligated to make sure it lasts the whole time, but it has to have the potential to last the whole time. It had to have been possible. It had to have a shot in life. Right, so if you didn't put in enough oil, ironically, because of course this is the whole miracle of Hanukkah, but if you rely on a miracle of Hanukkah, you don't put in enough oil, and it only has enough to last for 5 minutes, and you don't have another miracle and it goes out after 5 minutes, so then you're not Yotze. So is that only about oil? Or are there other scenarios that are like that? So let's say, for example, let's say you're lighting and it's very windy where you are. Right, once upon a time they used to light outside. In Eretz Yisrael today, many people also light outside. So let's say you're lighting in an area where there's a very strong wind. And there's really no chance that the flame is going to last more than a few minutes before the wind comes and extinguishes it. So says the Shulta Ikibaru, that's a problem. That's not in this category of it's not your responsibility, because that's more comparable to not having enough oil. If it's not even possible for it to last, so then that, practically speaking, is as if it never had a shot in life, and it's not going to be credited as a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Now, it's possible to disagree with that. If Shlomo Kluger thought differently, he thought that if the candle is enough, if the oil is enough, then anything external doesn't change that fact. But many accepted this view. This is a widely accepted view, that if it's going to be inevitable, that it's going to get blown out, if the wind is going to come right away, so then you know that's going to have to happen, then that's not a fulfillment of Ner Chanukah, and that does become your responsibility. So let's take that a step further. Let's say that it's not a question of the oil. You have enough oil, you have enough candles, that's fine. And there's no wind here either. Under normal laws of physics, there's no reason why this candle can't last for a half hour. But you know that you're going to decide to blow it out. You know, you have inside information that it's not going to last, because you have plans to say, I gotta go in 5 minutes, and I'm going to put it out myself. So then, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and many others, that that's even worse than what we said before. Right? Even if one were to say that if you put it out b'shogeg, it's not your responsibility. And even if one were to say if you put it out on purpose, it's not your responsibility. Okay, we can handle that. But if you know from the beginning you're going to put it out on purpose, then that's a problem. Not just because of this topic, but because it's as if you don't have enough oil. The law of oil is telling us that it has to have potential. Maybe it's not actually going to last for whatever reason, but it has to have the possibility of lasting. And if it doesn't have enough oil, that's impossible. If it has enough oil but it's too windy, it's impossible. And it has enough oil and it's not windy, but you know you're going to put it out, that's the same thing, says Rav Shlomo Zalman and others, and therefore that's also no good. So that's a fascinating idea. And Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita, has an essay where he goes through the many, many reasons that one should not even think of lighting a Hanukkah candle on an airplane. And even though there were those who suggested this, what happens if you're traveling all night on Hanukkah and you're not going to be home? What should you do? Should you light on the airplane? So Rav Asher Weiss writes, God forbid, we should definitely not try this away from home. It's very dangerous. And he goes through, of course, the issues of tremendous danger and gezel that is involved. It's against the airline rules and it's against the common sense and many other points. So he discusses that as the main reason not to do it. But in addition, he points out that it's not your household. That's one of the requirements of Ner Chanukah, that it be in your house. And the plane doesn't qualify. And he goes on to discuss this topic also. He says, you know that within 30 seconds, Homeland Security is going to take you away in handcuffs and they're going to put it out. So that's essentially like not having enough oil or not having a place that's free of the wind. If it's impossible for it to last, so then there isn't even a fulfillment, so there's nothing to talk about. So that goes into this category as well, even though, yes, if it goes out as a surprise, but if you know there's no chance that it could possibly last for whatever reason, including your being arrested for terrorism, that is also in the category of never having a chance, and that's not going to be in fulfillment. So what does this show us? So we see that neither opinion is as extreme as maybe it sounds. The opinion that says it's no good if it doesn't last the whole time, the opinion that we don't follow, seems like they don't really hold it's no good. They hold it's good, but you're still obligated to keep it going. And the opinion that we do follow, that says all you have to do is light it and you're off the hook, isn't so absolute either, that there are many circumstances where that's not true. If you know it's going to go out, if you put it out yourself, maybe if you put it out by accident, etc., etc. There are many circumstances where it seems like that's not the whole story, and that you are responsible for more. So it seems like there's really not so much space between these two opinions. And indeed, to take it further, the opinion that says that you should keep it going, the opinion that says that if it goes out, you're not obligated to relight it. So that means you're not obligated to relight it. But presumably it's still a good idea to relight it, and that everyone would encourage you to relight it. And if you look at the Ramah, back in source 3 again, that the Ramah goes on to talk about this. He says, V'imrotza lahachmir, the last line of source 3, if one wants to be stringent on himself, v'lachzor v'lahadlika, and to relight it, ein levarach aleh. So okay, so you don't make a bracha the second time because you weren't obligated to relight it, but he's already bringing up this concept that maybe you will choose to relight it. And the source is quote from our friend again, the Maharshal. Maharshal gets quoted all over Hilchas Chanukah, and you think he wrote a tremendous amount. He has one short tshuva, Siman Pei Ches, which makes it into like seven different places in Hilchas Chanukah as a major source. It's just the same brief few lines in the Maharshal that keeps coming up again and again. So the Maharshal says that certainly it would be proper to relight it. Even according to us, it said you're not obligated to relight it. So we've seen a number of explanations that tell us why it's not, strictly speaking, an obligation. But it's certainly a good idea. It's certainly something which somebody who's concerned about the mitzvah should do, and we would certainly encourage that. And you see this also, there's a long Rush quoted here, which we won't look at inside, but the Rush in Source 8, you can take a look at it. So the Rush discusses the different formulations of Birchas HaMitzvos. And the Rush writes that when there's different theories as to why some brachos are al mitzvahs this, and some brachos are li such and such. So among the theories the Rush discusses is that when you make a bracha of al this mitzvah, it's because the mitzvah is happening automatically. And when you say li something, it's because the mitzvah is going to take a while. It's not happening right now. So what about the fact that we say lahadlik ner shalchanukah, that it keeps going? So the Rush discusses this here, and he says that this fits into his formula, that the mitzvah is not just happening at that first moment of hadlaka, but it's continuing as you fill out the time that the candles are supposed to be lit. So the commentaries ask, in the bottom of the Rush is the Korban Asanel, that says, really? What about Kovsol Ozakuklah? Didn't we say that if it goes out, you're not obligated to relight it? So it seems like it's a 1 second thing. As soon as you light the Hanukkah menorah, you're done. Why don't we say, oh? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger talks about this in his Shuvos, and others talk about this as well. And they suggest that what you see from the Rush is that there are two different levels here. That yes, it's true that once you light it, you have fulfilled your obligation on a minimal level. But clearly there's a value in it continuing the entire time. And the mitzvah is going on the entire time, and it's certainly at minimum a hiddur. It's appropriate to keep it going the entire time. So therefore, the mitzvah can legitimately be said to be continuing all of this time, even though we let you off the hook if it should go out at any point along the way. So again, we see that neither opinion is as extreme as we started, that basically everyone agrees on a certain very significant common ground, that everyone seems to agree that you fulfill your obligation with the first moment, and it's a good idea to make sure that it's going the entire time. And the only area of disagreement is it just a good idea, or is it an absolute obligation? So do we say that it's recommended, or kavsa zakukla, that you really have to? But even if we say you have to, it seems, as some achronim explain, that it's a second obligation, that you fulfilled your mitzvah of hadlaka with the initial lighting. And there's an additional value because of Persume Nisa. We want the message to get out, so we want it to be burning for the entire time, or maybe even longer. So then there's a secondary concept to keep it going, and that's also a part of it. So how do we understand what exactly the message is, if that's indeed the real common ground between the two opinions? So it seems that we could say as follows, that yes, it's true that Hanukkah is about Pirsum, is about publicizing the miracle, and therefore we want the message to get out. We want to make sure that during that period of time when people are outside in the marketplace, when people are traveling, people can see it, that the candles should be available for them to see. But as far as your mitzvah is concerned, as far as your obligation, it seems that that is more limited. That is essentially just this action, hadlaka osa mitzvah, as the Shulchan Aruch puts it, taking a line maybe out of context from the passage in the Gemara later on. And if that's the case, once you've lit it, you have done what you need to do on the core level. So why is that the case? So it could be, like we mentioned before, maybe that's a philosophical approach to the entire Torah. Maybe that's how we relate to everything, like the Kudja Glover suggested, or like Rav Asher Weiss mentioned in that other context, like the Avinezer, like some of the explanations that we saw that extrapolated from here to other areas of Torah as well. Or maybe it's about Hanukkah specifically. Maybe it's something which is tied in to this concept and has something to say about Hanukkah. And it seems like there's room to suggest that when we consider the whole experience of the Nes, and as we mentioned a little bit earlier, it seems ironic that here the miracle of Hanukkah is that a little bit of oil lasted longer than it should, and yet if we take that approach to Hanukkah candles, we're not going to be in fulfillment. We have to make sure that al pi derech hateva it can last. So yes, that's a part of our responsibility towards the mitzvah. But still, the nature of the experience is that here, the Jews, when they were rededicating the Beis HaMikdash, so they took a giant leap. They said, okay, here, we want to have a hadlaka with pure oil, and we don't have enough. There's no way it's going to last. But we could just give up, or we could do everything we can. We could take all that we have and bring it to the experience and hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the rest. We'll say, okay, if I do this, if I come at it with everything I have, maybe God will fulfill the necessary next step and he'll make it happen. Now, it's interesting, we mentioned Rav Asher Weiss, so he recently came out with another sefer which is different than his previous farm, a sefer on Emunah Bitachon, a sefer on issues of faith. And there he talks a little bit about Hanukkah in one of his letters, because he notes the approach, the Beis Yosef, and his famous question, why is Hanukkah 8 nights if the miracle was really only 7 nights? If the first night was not miraculous, so then why do we celebrate 8? We should celebrate 7. So one of the answers the Beis Yosef himself has is that they took this jug of oil and they broke it down into 8 parts. And none of those 8 parts should have lasted the entire night. And the fact that it lasted each time was its own miracle. So even the first night was a miracle. So the Pri Chodesh and some others asked, well, what gave them the right to do that? They were being somech al hanes. They were relying on a miracle that they should have just used everything for the first night. And they said, okay, the second night we won't have. What gave them the right to divide it up and try to keep everything for each night and hope that there's going to be a miracle? What happened to Ein Som Chananes? So Rav Asher Weiss comments there that he thinks that here it's a different story. That normally we don't rely on a miracle, but when you see that the miracle is already pushing you, that you've already benefited from some encouragement in this sense, so then that's already not Som Chananes. And he said the fact that they found that one jug, that was already a miracle. Here, the invaders had gotten their hands on everything. Everything should have been impure. And the fact that they found even this little bit, that was already a sign from God that keep going, do what you can. So then to say, okay, we're going to make an all-out push to have a lighting with pure oil for 8 nights, that wasn't somchen al hanes, that was just following the path that they were already brought on by God himself. So if that's the idea, that we essentially say, okay, we do everything we can, and then ultimately God does the rest, so then perhaps we could understand why also we say, at a core, kav so lo zakeh lo, because the nature of the mitzvah is, it's not our job to supervise the world, to make sure all the results are what's necessary. It's our job to do what we can, to do our part, and to understand that the more that we show that commitment, the more that we show that effort, that we can hope that God will fill in the process. So I think we're almost going to be out of time, so maybe I'll take questions privately. But I'll just want to quickly review, and then maybe we'll take questions privately. But just to quickly review what we spoke about. So we saw this Gemara that has 3 positions about different combinations of the issue of, can you use the Hanukkah candles for your own purpose? And are you responsible if the light goes out? And we conclude, practically speaking, that you're not responsible if the light goes out. And we discussed what is the explanation between the different opinions. And it seems like on the surface that if you say you're not responsible, you say the whole mitzvah is just lighting it, then you're yotzei. And the position that says you do have to relight it says no, the mitzvah is to make sure that it's lit the entire time. And if it's not lit the entire time, you're not yotzei. So then we tried to test just how extreme either position is. We said the position that just lighting it is enough, Shulchan Aruch quotes a view that takes it even further, the view of the Truma Sadesh, and it says that even Friday afternoon, if you light it before Shabbos starts and the night hasn't even begun yet, you're also not obligated to relight it. And the Taz, the Marshal, said that's too much. It has to at least get into the time of the mitzvah in order to say such a logic. And then we consider the other view, is it really so absolute to say that you're not in fulfillment, it goes out? So it seems like it's not so absolute, because the Ramban suggests that even that other view would agree that Friday night, when you can't do anything about it, if it goes out, you are in fulfillment. So it seems like it's not that they hold you're not in fulfillment at all, but that there's an extra obligation to relight it, which wouldn't apply Friday night when you can't do it. And then we tested the limits of the position that we follow. The idea that you're not obligated to relight it, is that always true? So we saw that there are some limitations. If you put it out on purpose, so many poskim felt that you are obligated to relight it. Some even felt if you put it out by accident, that you're obligated to relight it. And if it never had a chance in the first place, so then it seems that you're obligated to relight it. So if it doesn't have enough oil, we know that that's not considered to be enough. But even if it has enough oil, but it's in a place where the wind is strong, so then that's comparable, according to most to not having enough oil, or even if there's no wind and there's enough oil, but you know you're going to put it out, you have that in mind, so then that also is as if it was never lit in the first place, and that may be even worse than all the other situations of putting it out. And then we mentioned also, as Rav Asher Weiss noted, that's one of the many reasons why one should not light on an airplane, because there's no chance it's going to last the required period of time, and therefore, even from that perspective of the mitzvah, in addition to all the other many issues, it's not going to even be something that has a possibility. So we see that this position is more limited than we thought, and we noted also that even if we say you're not obligated to relight it, but clearly it's a good idea to relight it, it's a hiddur to relight it, and as the language of the Rush suggests, there's a mitzvah that is fulfilled all the time that is going on, even though had it gone out earlier, you wouldn't have been, strictly speaking, obligated to relight it. So we noted the common ground here, that it seems that everyone holds that you're in fulfillment with the initial lighting, but if it goes out, it's certainly a good idea to relight it, and some will say it's more than a good idea, it's an obligation to relight it. So given that possibility, what's the structure of the mitzvah? So we noted that yes, there's a value for some anisa of keeping it going the whole time, but the personal obligation is just to light it and not to be responsible for it. And we suggested that could perhaps parallel the whole nes here, that we weren't able to really supervise the results, to control all the circumstances, but we did everything we could. We took everything that we had and we brought it to the process, and then God did the rest. And so too, that's also what's required of us as we perform the mitzvah as well, and hopefully as we continue throughout this festival, we should have that in mind, this whole structure, that we do our part, and we hope that that will be the first step to inviting God to do the rest. Wish you all a wonderful remainder of Hanukkah, and thank you so much. Should be only good things. Thank you.